All right. Good evening, everybody. As mentioned last week, we are in the home stretch. We're at the end of this amazing Sefer Shabbos Malchusa. And what Rav Pinkus does at the end here is, of course, a lot of the Sefer discussed emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah, in the oneness of Hashem, and in connected to Shabbos. And because of that, at the end of the Sefer, Rav Pinkus takes a lot of the principles that are found in this Sefer, the ideas, a lot of the Hashkafas, and puts it into the Yigim O'Ikram, the 13 principles of faith, which we started last week. So basically, just looking ahead, we have this week, and then we'll have two more weeks. We'll get closer to the end of the Yigim O'Ikram this week. We'll finish it the next week, and then we'll have the last part is a Siyum, and we'll have a Siyum on the Sefer. So we're up to the sixth of the 12 of the of the 13 principles of faith, the sixth of the Animamins. So the sixth one is Animamin be'emuna shlema shekol divrei hanaviim emes. I believe with complete faith that all the words of the prophets are true. Now, by the way, as I mentioned, I'm learning this right now with a fine Jew who's far away from his Yiddishkeit, although improving. We started with the 13, we've been doing it for way over a year, on the 13 principles of faith. So one day, maybe I'll do this with this group, because he's really focusing on certain aspects of the principles of the animamins, like all the words of the Nevi'im are emes. Why is that so essential? Why is that so true? He's going to focus on one aspect connected to what we learned, but obviously there's a lot more to discuss and to say why, and also why these are the theology, so to speak, which are of the principles of Yiddishkeit, which a Yid must believe. If you make an error in these areas, it's much more severe, much more serious, as opposed to other things. Obviously, everything is obligatory and to believe, but it's not as fundamental. But on that note, all the bona fide prophets, Nevi'im, are true. Obviously, we don't live in a world of Nevuah today, but there once upon a time was false prophets. Just this morning, in my daily Navi, in Yirmiyah, and Mirza Hashem, I'll make my 13th cycle, 13th Siyum next Simchas Torah. 13. Next Simchas Torah, in the middle of Yirmiyahu. And it basically, Chanan ben Azor gives this false testimony that Jerusalem will be saved from Nebuchadnezzar. And Yirmiyahu says you're a false prophet and denies him in the name of God, and he'll be taken prisoner and he'll die beforehand. And all that happens, of course. But real Nevi'im, bona fide Nevi'im who follow, who fit the principles of prophecy, everything they said is true. The Tzurich, that idea, not the Kamperek, Shekasav, is actually quote for us something that we learned once upon a time in Sha'arim V'Tfila, in the gates of prayer. Hine, ha'philosophim, the philosophers, Shechafru B'Torah, that deny the Torah, that are at some level heretical, Iker Tanasim Haisa. They believe in God, but they don't believe in the veracity of Hashem's Torah. Iker Tanasim Haisa, Kevan Shekadosh Baruch Hu Gadol V'Neira. Since Hashem is so great and awesome, L'malakol Tfisa Olam, omnipotent, all powerful. We can't. There's no way we can understand. No way this world could hold Hashem, so to speak. Hashem doesn't care, right? Do you and I care when we see ants, on the street or in the forest, carrying crumbs? Does it bother? Does it interest us what ants are doing? We can care less what an ant is doing, unless it's somehow particularly germane to something in the world. But certainly, individual ants, we don't care for. Do you think the chasm, the difference? Us and an ant is way less, not incomparable less, infinite less than Hashem to us. So these philosophers said, Hashem has no shaykh, has no connection. We're a bunch of ants to God. He needs to know what he cares about our smoothies. Here's, I don't know, tricks with it, by the way. Coffee. Oh, very important. Yeah, coffee. Right. So here's what our coffee. That's what's important. No shaykh is, we're a bunch. So shaykh, shteim, and tzis, rechokas, kubichol, shalva, b'neim, shia, lehen, eitz, magaz. Between Hashem and man, there's nothing you can, between Hashem and the world, there's nothing farther. You can't even, it's the biggest gap you can ever imagine. We can even begin to fathom Hashem's perfection and omnipotence. Hashem is so, it's totally above and beyond us. These philosophers, these heretical philosophers, said for that reason Hashem has no connection to us, just like we have no connection to ants. The kol shekain, and certainly, what I'm talking about, is, you know, Hashem has no connection, apathetic, so to speak. But to shiashkiach, to be divine providence and all of who we meet, what we do, right? Everyone in this phone call, everyone in this Zoom call, anyone who ever hear this, right? At some level, we encountered each other. There was a connection. That's all ben Hashemayim, right? Hashem orchestrates everything in this world. He loves us, he cares about us. Hashem cares about us, obviously, whatever that means, Hashem cares and loves us. He's not a human being like that, but in the most pristine way, obviously, through anthropomorphism, we're explaining, but Hashem loves us and cares about us like a father. V'ichba loman osim, and cares about exactly everything we do, or our mitzvahs, or our veiros, chas v'sham, etc. V'kol sheg, kol zeh seiser, es tefisa seicha, among the God, it doesn't make any sense. Hashem is above and beyond great, and he cares on the finest of details. V'iyov tan kach b'kama p'sukim, when you learn the book of Job of Iyov, you see that this is actually part of Iyov's, beforehand, at the end of the book of Eve, book of Job, where he comes to new understanding, he actually said this. Eve says this himself. Learn the book of Eve. Shabbalis Lainan Al Yasurv, and he's sitting there lamenting his fate. Is tremendous, tremendous. We should never know what Eve experienced, physical, losing family, losing his wealth, tremendous physical pain, lost it all. Rav Dvarav Hem Tehilos. And even so, he was praising Hashem and singing to Hashem. So how does he even get in? Eve was trying to understand, to reconcile this great Hashem, who is so amazing and great, and his personal reality. His reality, when he's discussing this, was he lost all his wealth, he lost all his children, he was afflicted in all kinds of boils and pains and ailments and sicknesses, and he's trying to reconcile how could this be. And in the process of this, he comes, he says that God's not involved in this world. By the way, this was, what was his name, Kushner, right? This guy, this conservative clergyman, had a book on theology of how God... Why? Oh, I remember this. I actually gave a drush about this many moons ago. Why bad things happen to good people? That was his book. Right? He lost a child, this person, in that book. And he couldn't... God, why... You know, something like, why good things happen to... Something like that. How God can allow this to happen. This is, he said the same thing as you. God doesn't, of course, God's good, but he's not involved in the details of the world. And that's why tragedies and by the way, this is so far, just this, from the essence of Yiddishkeit, it's not just heretical, as far as we're concerned. It's so far, it's a polar opposite of what we believe. But that in order to, so to speak, reconcile, so... Eve came to this, and Krishna and others, and these philosophers, that God's not involved in this world. And therefore, there's mikra and mazels and all kinds of other things. And that's why Eve himself thought maybe even he looked at himself, and rightfully so, by the way, he had lived a righteous life. and why is this happening to him? Now we're not learning Eov. We're not learning why good things happen for bad people. We're not learning how Hashem deals, what that means. It's actually obviously very important things. But we are discussing this grave mistake. Okay? Really, the answer is David HaMelech says, King David says, Kimi Kashem Elokeinu HaMagbil HaShemes, right? The answer, not the answer of why good things happen to bad people and how everything Hashem actually does is always good. And I think we discussed it even on this Wednesday night Zoom share over a period of time, so at least parts of angles of it. But certainly, I've discussed it in drashas and other things, different shirim. But for the answer, why Hashem is so big, would he be involved in our pulling our crumbs, our apparently, which should be unimportant, not just involved, Hashkacha Pratis, caring, loving, right? So to speak, Kabbalistically, if we're in pain, Hashem is in pain. Again, not to be taken literally, but whatever that means. So Mika Hashem Elokeinu, it says, how is great as God? Hamashpili Lidos B'Shemah Haaretz, who looks down, Hashem is so great, that even in His greatness, He looks down at the heavens and the earth, and our world, and in our lives. The Haimim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, God of the earth, Kamosh Oisim, a philosopher, these philosophers, so to speak, their finite heads, the Hashem is all powerful, all great, and they have such a great question. But about Be'emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's even greater than they imagined. Without boundary, and Dafka Makmas Oitzim do also, is because Hashem is so great, Yesh Bekoicho can do whatever He wants. He's not limited. Vegam Haplio Hazos, now I'm limited, you're limited, and the reason we don't care about ants is we're limited. By the way, I got home tonight. I had my soul graduate 8th grade, our yeshiva, YDT. And the parents, I feel like, I just want to tell me something about something. I can't hear this now. We're all limited. I can't hear everything. You can't worry about everything. Worry about ants? I don't care about ants. Something to put it hard at. We're limited. But if Hashem is omnipotent, there's no limitations. It's we put God in our box. In our box, we don't have time for every little thing. We don't have the heart for every little thing. We have to pick where we put our head and our heart into. Pick correctly, obviously. But Hashem is omnipotent. Hashem is all-powerful. Hashem is all-perfect in every way. And there's nothing limiting. Hashem can be even bigger than we can ever imagine. And care about the little things because there's no limitations by Hashem. Dafka, because He's great, Yesh B'Koich Las Komatzon, V'Gama Pliyazos Lashkiach Al Kolom, and really, every little thing, Hashem cares. And now there is a discussion about, does Hashem care every ant? If it's applicable to a Yid, maybe yes, or a Tzadik, maybe yes, maybe otherwise, it's irrelevant. This is, depends, not for right now. But Hashem obviously wanted to, can care about every ant. It's a question, does He? In everything in this world, Hashem is so big, and certainly about the righteous and about the Jewish people, it's always Hashkacha on every level. The Mashachachma says, Bereish Sefer, a Sefer, B'Shem HaKamon. In the beginning of the Mashachachma, of course, was the great Rimer Simcha of Divinsk, late 19th century, early 20th century, Gadol, great sage, wrote a book called the Or Samech, there's a yeshiva named after that. On the Rambam, he has a Mashach Chachma on Chumash, and it's a classic Sefer. And then Mashach Chachma, he writes in the beginning of this work on all of the Torah, he says, in the name of the Kamarim, Ein Seif, when you say God is without limit, it's Shlemos, it's perfection, without any lacking, without any pagam, without any deficiency. Vim Taimar. Maybe it's, usually people who don't have boundaries are lacking. In our world, that's for sure. People, good boundaries create a person. They give definition. They enable and they empower. I mean, everyone needs boundaries in every aspect of life. But at the Hanash Etzma Shesparku believe, Vol Mukhayev,
and
But he says, but since Hashem is, on the contrary, believable, right? It's actually even that much greater. There's nothing that's too small for God. I mean, that's much greater. It means saying that I can't care, I'm apathetic, certainly I put my heart into ants, or small things left, and even a lot of things every day, you know, we all get bombarded. There's lots of things that we could put our head and heart to. I just told someone this today, you know, about a certain person doesn't teach for one of the schools. This is a very talented person, but he's spread out a little bit here, a little bit there. The more focused you are on something, the better you usually achieve. You know, the Talmud says tafasti bevelo tafasti. You try for too much, you get nothing. So we say, okay, I can't focus on something else. I gotta focus on important things. You pick your self development, your Torah, your Shemayim, Tefillah, okay, your family, your wife, your kids, community, show, right? Call yourself. More times for ants. Who has time for small things? Who has time? Even you're picking even your thing. But Hashem is, God of Hashem is, on the contrary, there is no limitation. There's nothing stopping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's so great that he's so much greater than we can even imagine, and yet he cares about the smallest thing in this world. Elohi Yisparach, Kol Yachal, is omnipotent, V'kol Ma'asha Aise, G'dulas, Adin Chek, K'mo King, Kol Yachal, Asa K'tanas, he can do the smallest things without any boundaries. V'ramzu L'chazal, our sages told us about this great thing. Omer b'Yichlan says, actually, every Shabbos, Kol Makom, every place, Atamatz, Gedulas of Kadosh Baruch Hu, wherever you find the greatness of Hashem, Shama Atamitz and Vasanusu, you find His humility. Hainu, what does that mean? Where you find the greatness, you find the humility. Vasman, thus, what does this mean? Hainu, Shikava Yachos, if you could say it, obviously, it's in our own words. The humility of Hashem is a built bas tachas he ach verach because gduloso. It's because Hashem is great. He's so humble. He cares about the ants called you and I. He cares about us. He cares about our lives and our everything about us, and our future and the Klal Yisrael, and even when we sin. That's the godliness of Hashem. That's the greatness of Hashem. And He orchestrates the entire world for that. Every shirach is kakasha kriyas yamsuf. That means, you have every single person you meet, and where you live, and the time, and everything, just to make a Jewish people married. Right? How every child, go from the beginning to the end. The greatness of God comes through His humility. He cares about us, and not just cares. He, so to speak, organizes it all, with the exception of our own free will. So it's not from Hashem's lacking, it's from Hashem's greatness. This, by the way, was a good review of what we learned in Sharm Tefillah of how we pray. Okay, he quoted, this is a direct quote of something maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Okay. This is what he comes to answer a question. Now, what does that have to do with anything we're learning about? But in Le'inyanenu, Kavi Kuach, when all we discuss Nevuah, prophecy, who, in the discussion about it, Heim Yitachan is a shaykh. Even a God-believing person today, person believes in heaven. Now, we haven't had prophecy in this world for about approximately 2,500 years, and we know that people claiming to be prophets are usually mentally nuts or unscrupulous people. They're not nuts, they just want to make a buck. Become famous, or both combined. So we get a little, bit jaded, but of course we believe in Nevuah. But if someone would say to the idea of Nevuah in a world like ours, it would be very, for some people it's hard to believe. Why? How are you talking? Because again, wisdom is we look at the world and coming to look up above. Nevuah means God's. Actually, I just told this gentleman I'm learning this with. Nevuah, prophecy, is God speaking to us. It's not just the future. Some of prophecy is about the future. Obviously, I'm learning Jeremiah right now. That was not about his own time, but he prophesied for the future. Ditto with Yechezkel, Ezekiel, and Yeshaya, Isaiah, Micha, Yonah, Jonah, all of them. But most of the Nevuah was not about the future. It was God telling people things. Now, it could be how to live in the present. It could have been, you know, what you should be doing, etc. The 48 prophets that are recorded for eternity, posterity, that, a lot of it was for the future, because that's what we're learning it. But there are a lot of prophecies, just God, a message from above. And to people, even smart people, that seems, why would God tell a human being a message from above? It's the distance, as pure as we can find ourselves, as advanced as we can get spiritually, to be, so to speak, a vessel for prophecy. The chasm, the distance is immeasurable. How could be a direct connection between the Hashem, so to speak, and through the mazalos to us, or Hashem directly to us, aval achash yesh Shabbos kodesh chamur amor al chedesh. Once we learn about Shabbos, which teaches us how Hashem created everything from scratch, we ata in davar, so we know where, because Hashem created everything in the world, He controls everything in the world. He can do whatever He wants in Hashem's world. He's not given, you know, an artist, you work with the tools you're given. You know, a teacher, you have to deal with the class you're given. You know, you and I, we deal with the physical restraints that we have, our head, whatever. We didn't pick our body. Hashem put our souls in our body. We didn't pick our souls either. Hashem put Hashem, everything created everything. That's what we learned when we talk about Shabbos. It is true. Certainly, it's mind-boggling for Hashem, so to speak, all omnipotent, all powerful. Not, you know, to speak to an ant like you and I, to any human being. Hashem creates everything in the world, and there's nothing that's challenging. If He wants to do that, if He wants to empower us, and that's from Hashem. For oifin shef sharsh levu beemes, he rak mikoch ein soifetz koyachal. And the reason why it's always true is because, of course, because Hashem is all powerful. So you say nevuah, and therefore the idea of prophecy. Number one is that not only will prophecy always be true, but that God could speak to us and give us from above is because of this idea. Hashem controls everything in this world. There's nothing. He's not dealing. You know, again, if you're an artist like Michelangelo, you dealt with the clay or the painting or the oil, you're limited. You're still, there's always limitations because you're dealing with what you're given. Hashem created everything, all reality, to our very own day. I've said this many times recently. You know, you have Netanyahu sitting in the Trump's White House. You know, there are about 8 million people in Israel. Okay, this is his third time in America since Trump won, by a miracle, by the way. You know, I don't say it by a miracle, because I think had Kamala Harris won, I don't care what your opinions or anyone's opinions about democracy as far as the economy or tariffs. I'm sure you haven't, and I have unemployment, immigration, all very important. But I can say 100%, if Waltz would be the vice president, Kamala Harris would be the president, Israel would be totally endangered. And quite frankly, the universities would be very dangerous, right? Because this is products of not being dealt with, or worse. So I look at it as an ace. And now you have Netanyahu there. I mean, how come the Jewish people, I just shared on a certain medium today to some people about the eternity of the Jewish people, like some non-religious, you know, pretty left-wing person writes, the shock of his life, he's an older man, the shock of his life is seeing that orthodoxy has blossomed. Not true, the Haredim. Who would have predicted that, he writes? You know, his 80s, who could have ever predicted that? So I put a little comment. Well, the people, the Haredim predicted that. Because we don't follow normal rules. And you know why? If you live in the world, we discussed with Torah Shabbos, of reality, then you're stuck with the material you're given. You're stuck with Hezbollah and Hamas and Hitler and liberal far left, anti-Zionist, and far right, whatever it is, and limited and difficult. So you may be right. You know, how is this? You know, I once saw Isaac Asimov, supposedly a smart guy. Did he go to MIT, Yehuda? Probably, that's why he's wrong. So I once saw, he wanted to write, how could it be that it doesn't make sense for a few million Jews to live around hundreds of millions of Arabs, whether it was their land, not their land, whether self-determination or not, it just doesn't make sense. So that's what you talk about, like a dumb MIT guy or a dumb Harvard guy, and even semi-dumb Penn guy, right? You know, so they may say that because they live in the world of dumbness. You know, the world of dumbness is thinking that there's no God in this world. The Yidden, we buck all trends for that reason. And the closer we are to Torah, the more we will overcome the natural world. It's a topic on its own thing. But Nevuah really is, it's all Hashem's world. And therefore, what shouldn't make sense does make sense. That God gives you and I the ability, we don't live in a prophetic time today, but the ability, and certainly in times of Mashiach, it will be on steroids, to hear God's word and to get God's message for today and tomorrow. And by the way, from the past, obviously, a lot of certain things we know about from the beginning of time were up in Nevuah. Hashem said, you know what happened on day one, day two, day three, and how it happened, and all the details. That's what a lot of the Kabbalah and a lot of the Torah is based on. It's not human wisdom, it's God telling us this is what happened. However, even after you could understand the concept of prophecy of Nevuah, okay, there's prophecy, but how is it? God speaks to us, created beings. That in Nevuah is in a nimna hametzia she'atzli spark in a kvas. But okay, Hashem should lower himself, so to speak, to this. In this world of Aspar Be'imasha Shabbos, right? Hashem should care and give it down to us. But it goes back to, again, a principle we learned about Shabbos. Miuchedes Le'Yisrael Dafka. That Shabbos is Dafka, specifically for the Jews and only for the Jews. Remember, instead of a Gentile wants to shake it with an Esther, he could. If a Gentile, a guy wants to eat in a sukkah, he could. If he wants to blow a shofar, he could. If a guy wants to give Shabbos, he can't. We elaborate on that. Why should we call it a chesh mukrach? Chetia bris ave chesed ben abor nevrayv. Sha'arei akor batzis nevrayv ha'im akoch maga karav mikokav. Shelech akar lenemsim etzim etzishlo. A parent loves a child because a child comes from the parent. And vice versa, but we're totally created. We're not like a parent and a child are created beings, bring another created being. We're totally created from Hashem, and we have that kind of very deep relationship with Hashem. So every second, Hashem is giving you and I life. Inherently. There's a covenant between you and I and Hashem every second, giving us life every second. The truth is that feeling of love and relationship and covenant should be from everything that's created to Hashem. But since it has to be a dual relationship, and only Jewish people can go to Torah and say, Nasim and Ishma, therefore it's with us. Bahaisa Kruva, the Mele Gavish Dabras for Kesher Lamaisa. There's a connection behind the Nevuah. The level of connection is Nevuah. It's, to talk. Hashem sort of gives us divine wisdom and divine things we need. One of the parts of prophecy, of course, is to be a Roa, a seer, telling us exactly what we need in the time of prophecy. Your purpose, life, what you should be doing. because what kind of relationship is if one doesn't speak to the other, right? There's a lack of Ava. Hashem wants to speak to you and I. We're living in a Gullus. The main thing of Gullus, of exile, is that we don't have that relationship. And by the way, we're about to start the 3 weeks this Sunday, and we're going to hit the Tisha B'Av in 3 weeks. I think I said this once. Somebody in 1967 went to Rabbi Soloveitchik from Boston, from Yeshiva University, in Tzvi Chanan. He said, Rabbi, we conquered Jerusalem, the old, we have the curse, should we still fast? I looked at him like crazy. What? Do you understand? Gullus is not that you're in Jerusalem. Obviously, there's a level closest to that. Gullus is a base image where when you have Naviyah, you close to Hashem. We're in deep Gullus. And by the way, even though the fact that Eretz Yisrael, that we have Yerushalayim, and we have sovereignty to an extent, it's a tremendous blessing and bracha. For some people, it blinds them to the Gullus. That's terrible. It makes them seem like we're okay when we're not okay. The main thing of Gullus is that we don't have a connection to Hashem. We don't have that. So the Mila of Eretz Yisrael, the Mila of being in Israel, is that you're closer to Hashem, but we're still so far away. And we don't have this relationship where Hashem speaks to us. We can hear Hashem. And obviously, a lot of the difference was that in the future, when Mashiach comes, the Messiah comes, we'll have hearts not of stone, hearts of flesh. We'll be able to hear Nevuah again. We'll be able to hear prophecy again. Hear relationship again. You know, so imagine a child is estranged from a parent or a spouse, and they get into the house back. They get to the old house. But the spouse or the parent ain't there. You're missing the main thing. You know, Baruch Hashem, they're eating all over Jerusalem. It's a tremendous blessing. We're in the back of the house. You know, albeit there are people who want to kill us and kick us out of the house, right, every day. But we're missing the point to be there. We're missing the spouse. We're missing our parent. Whatever metaphor you want. But when we have an avuah, we have prophecy. Hashem tells us what we need to hear, personally and objectively. Zuhai iker tachas and avuah. The main purpose of avuah was the deal called acha ve'echa, to inform every single person. Derech avodaso, the way they should be living. Kivaso atayv, because derech av, and Hashem runs over the entire world. We're telling it to us like a father. We're gonna just do one more. That was six. We'll do one more. Then we're gonna hold. Number seven is ani mamin b'emuna shleim. I believe it's just enough. Nevuah, to understand nevuah, it comes to the idea of chesed olam. Hashem, how creative from scratch, and he controls the world, and even though Hashem is so great, he cares about you and I, and he wants to connect to us. And on the contrary, just like a child loves a parent because they give them and they created, and so too a parent loves a child, Hashem, connection with us, who were constantly created by Hashem, both is even way deeper, and then Hashem wants to talk to us, so and it tells us only what we need to hear, both for the present and the future, and again, something's for the past as well. Number seven, Ani Mamin. Now, that was all prophets, but so the seventh is Ani Mamin, I believe with complete faith. Shinevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses, our teacher, his prophecy, I love of blessed memory, Hai Samitis, was 100% true. Now, even though he was a human being, he was above and beyond, he was Avla Navim, he's the father of all prophets, for before and after. There will never be a bigger Navi, a person who had a higher level of knowledge, just a connection to Hashem, but hearing Hashem's message than Moshe himself, who was a human being who reached the highest levels of Nevuah. For his buyer, we already discussed actually in this work the prophecy of Moshe. Shederach Moshe, it was an Eved Dibur Hashem Yisrael Be'eches. Hashem spoke to him, so to speak, Bechvaydu V'atzvo, in his own honor, and V'atzvo, Moshe was awake. As opposed to other prophets were sleeping in their prophecy. And therefore the Torah, the five books of Moses, are literally given through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Etzem Asa Torah, Etzem Dibur Ratzon Hashem Yisperach, Begeder Hu V'Dibur Echad. We know that ultimately Moshe became just a conduit, a vessel for Hashem to speak through him. And it's Hu Ratzon Echad. And Shabbos, Kodesh, is therefore the idea of Moshe. Remember that Shabbos is that high level. Shabbos is the level of Nevuas Moshe. When Kol Mishum Ispire, Shum Korach Sod HaChiddush, we already explained that because of the Chiddush, Hashem consecrates the world, there's Ein Oy Melvado, there is nothing but God. Ultimately, everything you and I, table, shades, what you can see behind me, right? My glasses, it's all, you know, these physical man things, everything, it's Ein Oy Melvado, it's all from God's creation, it's all because God gives life force to it, it's all because God created everything from nothing, and constantly gives that gives life force, and is involved in everything. The truth, the real truth, take off the screen, take off the false impression, is that everything, literally everything, does not come from a malach, not from an angel, not from a seraph, a seraph, another type of angel, not a shliach, not a messenger. Everything is from Hashem. Everything, the true source of everything is from Hashem. And Shabbos, Kodesh Mevareres, Shabbos, as we elaborated and explained, clarifies the greatness, the oneness, the honor of Hashem in this world. V'im kein, ayidei HaShabbos, that we recognize and we're cognizant that Hashem is, everything comes from Hashem, we can understand that everything, all of the nevuah of could be coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Could come that it's all Hashem. It's Hashem giving everything through Moshe. Also, this connection, this connection that Moshe achieved and it had, was this the highest level? Okay, Matan Torah was the ultimately giving, right? You know, in marriage, again, I'm crude, in husband and wife relationship, there's climax, there's a higher level, and that's when you get married, and that's when you're, you know, able to be one, and that's, there's a higher level of actually the works of Kabbalah, even talk about talking, it's the ultimate connection, right? And, you know, when you talk deeply, the climax for Klai Yisrael was Matan Torah. It was the Hashem literally gave us the blueprint to the world. It's called in different works, Kabbalah, the world, Neshikas Pia, Hashem kissing us on the mouth. So it was like one mouth to the bond was so intense at Har Sinai. Whatever, again, Kavayach, obviously, Hashem is omnipotent, whatever that means for you and I, right? She was a Derek Shlia, you measure, you don't kiss the mouth. Here, Hashem was suddenly kissing, he was giving over to us, or to the Jewish people, we called Bini, my chosen child, children. Shabbos also, every Shabbos that you and I keep, right? Every Shabbos is Mivareres Mikoyach HaChiddush Es Bechoyd Matzah. It's connected on this deep level to Hashem every single Shabbos. So to speak, it's a kiss. So like Moses' prophecy, it was so, the relationship was so intense that God gave him the highest levels of Torah. What we got as a nation at Sinai, every Shabbos you and I have this sort of kiss in the mouth from Hashem, so to speak. And by the way, we know that in many circles, particularly Sfaradim and Chassidim, but not just them, many people will say Shira Shirim on Shabbos. This love song of our love to Hashem going in Friday to Shabbos. V'alkein Amru, and therefore we say, Kol Ma'aneg Es HaShabbos, anybody who enjoys the Shabbos, Noichlin Lo Nachla Ben Mitzar, because Hashem gives him an inheritance without any boundaries. Shekol Sugis HaShabbos, the whole idea of Shabbos, is Bechvoido V'atzmo. And so we connect Hashem with His honor and intrinsically, and just like Hashem has no boundary, so too when we enjoy the Shabbos, we're blessed without boundaries. We're blessed, we're not limited in what we do. So that is number 7. Next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up and attempt to pick up number 8 and try to finish. We should be able to finish finish them all, and then we'll have one more for the same. So wish everyone a good Shabbos, filled with only bracha. Okay,